Welcome to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. It's been gloomy out here.
Very.
In the PNW.
Lots of gloom.
It's getting a little chilly. Brian just came back from a very, very hot, warm place from the other side of the world. But that's not what this episode is about. Today we're going to be talking about all kinds of, I wouldn't necessarily say that this is a universal approach to roast defect or roast approach, but we're going to talk a little bit about roasting defects or issues, things to look out for as maybe even as a coffee drinker or as maybe you're just getting into roasting. And I know we have a lot of entry roasters in here. This might be something that you can take as a quick little resource. But before we get into all that, Batchy.
Let's go.
Actually, fun fact, I reached out to an importing company today for some samples. And the guy was like, "Oh, I'm so pumped to be sending you some samples. Would love to. I actually came across you on the podcast."
Let's go.
I'm like, it always takes me by surprise, yeah. Even though it probably shouldn't. I mean, we have like hundreds and hundreds of people listening, but I was like, oh, okay, cool. Wow.
That's cool. This is not a dialed batch. It's slightly bright.
I mean, I don't know what I would do. I don't think it's slightly bright.
Yeah, I think you need to go finer. Textures are very off.
Maybe a hair finer.
Did you do 1:16 or 1:17? How much water did you put in? And what was your dose?
1:16.
Yeah.
But I think 11:3 on the grind.
I did 11:5 last time.
11:3. I don't think that this is out of control.
Sweetness, a little bit of raspberry, just a tinge. There's just a lot of acidity in this cup, a lot.
But it's not sour sharp. I wouldn't say so.
The textures are off.
What do you mean? What's wrong with the textures?
That little sip on the front, right away it gets a, I hate to use the word sharp, but I think it's slightly sharp. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm dissecting this too much.
Actually, what I'm getting on the front end, and I'm glad this is a good intro to actually this podcast.
Yeah.
Because this will give some nice context to what we're about to talk about. But I don't think it's... I think maybe slightly a little finer might help. But I think also going to like a 1:15 might help. Make it a little more...
if you go to 1:15...
A little stronger. That's what I'm thinking.
You'd need to go much finer if you go to 1:15. Like
right.
Two notches finer and cut down the water.
Maybe.
So it doesn't get too over-extracted.
It needs more of that thickness body. Maybe I'm actually just speaking more for my personal preference, but I think knowing this coffee, this is a Colombian geisha, it tastes exactly, I mean, on the front end, I'm that the first taste when it hits the tongue, I'm getting that fruit, the geisha fruit that usually comes from geisha, not the geisha fruit, the geisha is not a fruit, but it's like fruit, and then it actually goes right back into florals and maybe some like soft, like lemon's a little too bright.
I am tasting lemon. It's not too bright. Maybe more or less like a lemon curd, except it's not. It's not too lactic curd. And not too like yogurty.
Yeah.
But it's maybe like that a lemon sweet crumble.
Yep.
Or like a key lime pie, maybe.
Yeah. It sounds so stupid.
I'm getting a little bit of raspberry. I picked up a little bit of mango on it.
The key lime? Yeah. I'm getting lots of key lime, actually. Lots. It's actually reminding me of the DAC cotton. This... The Dak coffee was more intense.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't.
But do you know what I'm talking about? The lime slush that I picked up, that was like
coffee's intense.
Insane. Yeah. This is like a toned down version. Like, I'm getting some of that key lime that I picked up in that coffee. That's what I'm saying. It's just remember. It's just reminding me of that. Mm-hmm. But
it's great. It's good. Yeah.
I would like a little more punch and intensity out of it, to be honest. But
yeah, I do have to say that
it's a solid geisha.
I do have to say that Mikava has ruined all geishas for me.
Yeah. The other I don't see Mikava around.
No one has Mikava.
I literally do not see them around, which is weird because you would expect to see them more.
Yeah. But also that Mame. Yeah, someone corrected us.
Yeah.
That's still my favorite coffee of the year so far. There was one of Scott's coffees that was really tasty, but the Mame coffee that you brought back from your trip to Europe.
Oh, that one?
That was unreal.
And not a geisha, not any cedra, not any of this crazy. It just, it's still nice pink bourbonne, but yeah, that was very clean, very punchy. I mean,
it had a lot of geisha aspects to it. Yeah. The florality, it was amazing. Missed that coffee a lot.
I think it stood up to easily any of Diego's thermals. Mm-hmm. Very, very nice.
But I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. Bourbons come from geishas, right?
To be honest, I don't know. I'm the wrong person to ask.
I don't know. Someone correct me or throw it in the comment section.
For sure. Yeah, well,
I mean, could this be getting in my way?
Sergi's drinking a lime LaCroix and wondering why is he tasting lime in the coffee. No, I think there's definitely some lime. That's what I would say. But
okay. I don't know. I messed myself. I didn't realize this was a flavored seltzer.
Yeah. That's fair. By the way, this is September Coffee's Nestor Lasso Columbia Geisha Washed.
Nice.
Just for reference, in case you're wondering, you want to pick up a bag. That's what the coffee was. So, friends, before we jump into this podcast, you know, if you're listening to this on YouTube, maybe on Spotify, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic that we're going to tackle, which is roasting. Actually also flavor preference and like have you tasted a coffee recently that was off-putting because you think it was roasted incorrectly or roasted either too dark or too light, it was underdeveloped. That's pretty much what we're going to tackle. So if you have some comments, you have an experience, we'd love to hear about it down in the comments. But let's just get into this. I think where this was inspired by was some recent experiences that we've had drinking all kinds of coffee, both darker coffees and very, very ultra light coffees that, you know, some people say, hey, like you need to rest this for like 122 days for it to taste good. And, you know, sure, I guess. And that kind of just brought up so many questions because it's like, Is that wrong? Is that right? And from a roaster's perspective, I know we've mentioned a lot on this podcast is we want to roast a coffee that would make the coffee producer and where the coffee comes from and how it was processed shine the most. And that's kind of our approach, even though that has a wide window.
Yeah.
Like there's not one single good roast for each coffee. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think there's several roasts that can taste good of each coffee. It's just more about, from a roaster's perspective, how do you find those sweet spots, and how do you bring out, you know, the qualities that you as a roaster prefer as well? Because there's definitely a little bit of subjectivity. Some people would prefer something much, much lighter. Some people would prefer darker. And that's also I don't really think about it this way all the time, but it's kind of the artsy part of roasting is you're crafting a flavor profile from scratch simply based on your preference and your liking.
Yeah. Because also the caveat is we are QCing all of our own coffees. So when it comes to determining that roast preference or that roast style, it comes down to how we cup those coffees, right? Mm-hmm. We've always said that from day one in the podcast. But one of our other sub kind of taglines, or not necessarily a tagline, but we do have it on our bag. It says sourced with intention, roasted with reflection. That's a big phrase. That's a very powerful phrase mm-hmm. that we take very seriously. I remember my first interview with Roast Magazine back in 2020. Mm-hmm. Maxwell Mooney set us up with them, and I still feel sheepish reading that article because, like, I probably said a very probably very sheepish and uneducated way of describing our roast style. Cause I said, we just want to roast coffee to reflect producer, right?
Right.
There is a lot of truth in that, but it doesn't bring a defining factor in what we prefer to taste in coffees when we're cupping them, because we're going to dial in to a little bit of preference and a lot of objectivity, like what we're going to talk about. So with that said, like, I think there's a lot to talk about when it comes down to defining your roast style. And a lot of the words get thrown around, because I also recently saw a post of someone describing a coffee and saying, this is borderline dark roast. Mm-hmm. And I was completely shocked, because I don't know if I would agree with that statement. So as this pendulum swings, you know, both ways, the idea of what is a dark roast and what is a light roast, starts to shift, right? Whether it's ultra light, like we used to call ultra light coffees,
Nordic,
that's the word I'm looking for. Nordic roasts, or is dark roast like the old classic Full City Plus? Like, what are we talking about here? Right.
Right.
So a lot of that has to do with what we're going to talk about in this episode.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a great stepping stone into all this. And I want to, you know, first say, this is much more curated for us, but I think there's some objectivity here and also some subjectivity in this conversation. I think straight off the bat, this is also not our entire roast approach. This is just a small sliver of that. Mm-hmm. But something that we try to look for is, in terms of roast defects, one of the biggest and easiest things that we can look for is, when we're cupping a coffee, when we're brewing it, are we picking up insane harshness? Are we picking up a kind of a caramelized aspect? That's not to be confused with the flavor note caramel. Mm-hmm. You can have a lighter roast coffee that tastes like caramel, but I'm more talking about caramelized as in it has a little bit of roast on it, like char, like almost if you kind of over saute, you know, like onions. Mm-hmm. You get a little bit of that overcookedness flavor to it. Or on the flip side, you're asking yourself, man, does this taste like corn, like hay, like straw? Like, does it taste a little grassy? Does it taste a little green? And those parameters already, for our flavor preference and palate, already boil things down so much. Because if you can avoid a coffee tasting roasty, and maybe roasting term scorched, or right? Is that it? Scorched or tipping.
Yeah.
Those aspects that may result in a kind of a harsher taste. Mm-hmm. If you can avoid it tasting like grass, or, you know, this is controversial, but some people like the flavor note lemongrass,
right.
Which is like an over glorified, I think, like grassiness to it. Mm-hmm. If you can have the sweet spot in between, I think you're already in a good general direction. And something that also where my mind goes is, I don't know if this was Scott or, you know, the other Smirk or man, I always forget his name. Gosh dang it. I don't do it justice. Yeah. But they talk about how sweetness is actually, it's perceived sweetness. It's not actually sweet. And what's happening is you have acidity on one side, bitterness on the other, and sweetness is actually almost that overlay between them. Yeah. It's the collab between them. And so we don't sit on the spectrum of extremely pure acidity, but we also don't want bitterness. Like, mm-hmm. we actually want something that's balanced, that fits that sweet spot. But even then, there's a range in that sweet spot. There's multiple places that you can place your coffee in on that spectrum.
Yep. Because basically lemonade is sweet, but it's made out of lemons, right?
Yeah.
You also have a lot of sugar, right? Yeah. But lemonade leaves a mouth-watering response when you drink it with a lot of sweetness. So it has acidity that waters your mouth, but it's balanced out with sugar. And there is good lemonade and there's bad lemonade. Not all lemonade's the same, right? You either go to Chick-fil-A or... No, I'm just kidding. But Chick-fil-A lemonade's actually pretty good. But I think that's a good example of when... actually we're cupping coffees that do tend to have a lot of acidity. Those coffees don't scare us. Those are tasty coffees. And we do want to roast with that in mind. Like, oh, is this coffee a brighter coffee with those kind of flavor notes? And then in the same contrast, we had a coffee from Colombia a while ago that I struggled with a lot because it had the flavor notes of cacao. That's also not a negative flavor notes note, but sometimes when I was drinking it or cupping it, I always thought it tasted cardboardy, right? And I was basically called out and told by another coffee professional. I was like, no, no, no. What you're actually tasting is a very strong cacao flavor. And if you're going to taste something papery or cardboardy, you're going to basically taste a drying, that stuff that you were talking about. And that's kind of the difference of going. And again, the spectrum is not like 1 to 10, right?
Yeah.
It's like you have 10 or... You have two negative aspects on both sides of the spectrum, and you're trying to go towards the middle. So the sliders are working in a different way than our linear way of thinking of bad versus bad into good, right? So I think that's a very important mindset to come into when you're either cupping a coffee or sipping a coffee, or when you're QCing a coffee for a roast.
And again, this is very much so preference and a kind of approach that we take, but also at the end of the day, if somebody likes something that's very, very bright and acidity heavy, then that kind of approach won't necessarily be applicable here. Or if you're liking coffees that are very well developed, where you actually want some of those caramely, chocolatey aspects, then please go for it. That's actually the approach that you should take.
Yeah.
For us, when we're thinking about, okay, we want to reflect the producer and the coffee, where it's grown, how it's processed. But also, I think for some time, a lot of people were, I don't know if I'm making this up, but we're saying like, hey, like, we want to roast coffee in a way where the roast doesn't get in the way of the flavor. And I could be wrong, could be making that up. Maybe I was just telling myself that. But at the end of the day, I think for me, what that means is, how do you avoid those two extremes?
Right, right.
And that's actually a really challenging aspect. And then within that 1 to 10 scale, where 1 being is like underdeveloped, too light, 10 is overdeveloped, roasty, pushed, high development. And then in the between, you're actually just teetering in that scale and finding, okay, this tastes good or this tastes bad. The problem is sometimes, you know, if, for example, if you lean towards a little too underdeveloped, then you're starting to get, like what you said, a little bit of maybe paperiness, cardboardiness, maybe some straw-like, but then you're also introducing some astringency. But then there's also some aspects of solubility that gets in there.
Right.
A lot of like home baristas will talk about, man, if you're brewing like a light roast, first off, you have to really let it rest. So it's a little easier to extract and the flavors come out a little easier. But also, a lot of people are literally tweaking their entire profile, if you're talking about like espresso, your profiles, your recipes, simply to adjust for those things.
Man, there was a thought that came in. You went from that to solubility. What were we saying before earlier about flavors? Touch more up on astringency. And I think that's a big one, because in the beginning, you and I, during cupping, we always talked about the idea of tasting astringency in a cupping versus tasting roast in a cupping. And I think a lot of the times, because of our background in brewing coffee in cafes, one of the major things, like an overdeveloped coffee or a overextracted coffee, sorry, not overdeveloped, you could use the word saying, oh, that dries out your mouth. It's bitter. It's astringent, right? We're not necessarily talking about the same thing when it comes to roast. Is that correct or am I wrong?
In terms of, you mean just over extracting a coffee?
No, the use of the term astringency. Because a lot of the times underdeveloped coffees taste astringent. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Yes, not necessarily overdeveloped coffees. Yes, and yes. I think that's an important distinction because it goes back to understanding the cup that you're cupping and what's going on in there and looking at your data that you recorded while doing the roast. Because again, going from a brewing perspective, a shot that's over extracted is going to dry out your mouth like tasting bitters. But in the cupping, I found that a lot of the times underdeveloped coffees tend to leave a dryness in your mouth, not the same as an over-extracted dryness.
Yes, yes, 100%. There is a distinction between the two. And I think the over-extracted, I mean, this is just a small little side note. I think I would prefer like an over-extracted shot or beverage than that kind of astringency than an astringency that comes from just an underdeveloped coffee.
Yeah.
For me personally, with like an underdeveloped coffee, you'll get like on kind of the sides of your mouth, almost like down under. You get this like almost very similar to almost like biting in an underripe banana.
Oh yeah.
Where you get a little bit of greenness, but it really like sucks out even all the moisture it feels like in your mouth.
Yeah.
And you're left with this like very unpleasant flavor experience.
Yeah, I was gonna say not the same as biting into a burnt bagel.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Yeah. And I think that's actually like a good, you know, if somebody's looking for kind of almost like a framework, that's a good way of thinking about it. But I also, on that end, you can also have coffees that are just very bright on their own, that have a bright flavor profile. But that doesn't mean if you're just tasting all lemon that it's underdeveloped.
Correct.
Also. And now we're kind of getting into a nitty-gritty of it. But like, for example, we have a coffee that's going to be dropping soon. It's a washed Ethiopian. Its flavor profile is that if you asked me like 3-4 years ago, I would not like. It's very lemony forward, grapefruit, like a lot of these bright with florals. And to be honest, I still don't necessarily prefer those coffees. However, I can have an appreciation for them if they're done right. Like for example, like this coffee, like even though there's high clarity of lemon and grapefruit and florals, but they come with this, in my opinion, this sweet aspect lingering flavor that actually make them enjoyable to experience.
Yeah. And I would say also not all tea-like coffees are underdeveloped, even though sometimes I feel like they could be, right? Because you can have a tea-like coffee that, and I'm talking about the texture, not the flavor of black tea. I'm talking about a tea-like texture of a coffee or a tea-like body. Like a low kind of light-bodied. Light, airy. Yeah. That can actually be a very good thing if that coffee has a long and lasting aftertaste. If the coffee is flat at the end and it's tea-like, then that's what I would say. That's not what we're aiming for. We're aiming to develop that flavor where it's long and lasting and 100%. Juicy with that tea-like aspect of it. I think a lot similar to the lemongrass thing, like a lot of the times, either tea-like coffees are overly enjoyed by some folks or absolutely hated.
Yeah.
And I think there is a middle ground where coffees that taste like sweet tea or even oolong tea, like I love coffees that taste like oolong tea, they're not the same as coffees that are big and punchy, like we talked about Mikava, right? Even though those coffees are also delicate. But I think that brings also a little bit of context when it comes to developing that roast, understanding what you can do with that flavor, and you are still reflecting the producer and you're reflecting the nature and the terroir of the coffee.
Yeah. And as we lay in this plan, I think we're coming up on some time already. But last thought is I think that within that spectrum, that middle spectrum between, okay, something is kind of a little pushed, a little too much. The roast is kind of getting in the way. You're getting a little, you know, some char, maybe some burnt flavors. And you're also, you know, muting a lot of those flavors if you're over pushing the ear development a little bit. You're muting some of the delicate, you know, notes that you might be able to pull out if you come back a little bit. But also on the other side, if you're going too light, you also run the risk of muting some of those flavors because you're not developing them enough.
Mm-hmm.
So on both sides, you can get these kind of muted one-dimensional flavor profiles, which again, if that's what you like, and if that's what you're going for, if that's what you prefer, there's no problem in that. But from a roasting perspective, I'm also weary of those ends and kind of cautious of them because they can come with some of those unpleasant flavors. Like if you go too light, then you're getting hay-like, all those things. And I know we touched up on that this episode already, but where I'm getting at is coffees can be very light, airy, tea-like, bright, but not taste like straw hay.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the thing is, for you to ride that line of like, how do we go as light as possible but still hold on to some flavor, is a fine line to play with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some roasters tip a little hay-like, a little straw-like, and they're getting two. And you know, if you just rest the coffee for 6 months, the hay-like will go away. It's like, no, dude, no. I've been resting this for 4 months. It's still tasting, you know. Yeah.
Or how many times do you need to blow off the chaff to make sure it doesn't taste hay-like or cardboardy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But there are roasters that do an exceptional job that you and I both like that ride that line pretty close, but they develop coffees and they source coffees. Back to your sourcing with intention, roasting with reflection, is like they're sourcing coffees intentionally with that kind of flavor profile approach.
Mm-hmm.
And they get beautiful, sweet, complex. They're not sacrificing a lot of qualities for that very light approach to their coffee. And I think sometimes you can get, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not going to go there, but
yeah. Leave it at that. Yeah, I agree. And also to comment a little bit on the dark side of coffee, you can basically mute a lot of the delicacies of a coffee. Like I just drank two coffees from the same origin, and one I was super hyped on because it revealed the complexity, and the other one just kind of dulled things out a little for me. And I was like, I know this green tastes good. Like I can feel it. Like that's another controversial statement I just said, is tasting past the roast, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's only so much you can taste if it's roasted bad.
Right.
But sometimes I drink a coffee and I'm like, I can almost like see the potential of this green coffee. I wish I could change something in this roast, but it's almost too kind of flat, even though there's potential. And I see that also happening on the other side, not only underdeveloped, but when coffees get slightly over or the development wasn't as well, then you have the same issues.
100%. And yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think finding the balance between their two is super hard.
Yep.
It's, it takes, I think, skill, a lot of time, practice, data keeping, all those things, to hit that sweet spot. And at the end of the day, also a lot of these things are, again, subjective and preferential, but that's our take on this, you know, roast kind of defect of, you know, approach concept.
Yeah.
But
did you cop that roast defect kick?
I did. Good. I bought it today.
Good.
That should be fun. But yeah, well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you made it this far, thank you so much for tuning in. Please drop it down in the comments. I'm curious. I want to hear people.
Yeah, I feel like this is controversial. Like,
yeah. But, you know, if you, please, I would just love to hear your thoughts. If you're, you know, a roaster or just an avid coffee brewer, coffee drinker, send this to a friend that, you know, is another home barista enthusiast or just coffee drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a good conversation around this. No offense to anybody.
No judgment. Judgment free zone. Just want to know.
Exactly. Well, there it is, folks. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, as we always say, reflect what's good.